Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got some bad news. Tyler Baker has been fired from his job here at Faithful Word Baptist Church. And there are several reasons why, and I'm going to explain all the reasons, but the biggest reason why is that he is believing and spreading a serious heresy in our church. I found out that he believed this only yesterday around noontime, and I found out he's been spreading it only to certain people. He was very careful who he approached with this false doctrine, but he has an inner circle. He has a faction of people that he's been infecting with this. And to mine, I know of five people, five men in the church that have families that he's infected with this, and it's very serious. And so here I am making this video less than 24 hours later, because I feel like people have the right to know, and especially because I know there are a lot of people who are planning on moving out to Jacksonville. Some might have already put in notice at their job, or they're already making plans to move. And so I didn't want to wait even a few days because of the fact that, you know, people could be making serious plans, and then, you know, they make these plans to move down there, and then they find out that, you know, Tyler Baker's been fired from his job here, and that he's not going to be ordained by our church. He's not going to be sent out as a pastor because of this heresy and a few other reasons. But here's the thing. I don't know whether this church, Valiant Baptist Church in Jacksonville, is going to be founded or not, but I certainly know that I will not be laying hands on him. I will not be participating in any way, and I will have zero fellowship with him ever until he repents of this heresy. Now, the biggest heresy that he's been teaching is he is basically denying the Trinity. He's saying that the Trinity is, quote, borderline polytheism, and he's bought into this oneness Pentecostal doctrine, or whatever you want to call it, modalism, whatever, where they say that there is no Trinity. The Trinity is a false doctrine, and basically they're saying that there is no distinction between the Father and the Son. They're saying that Jesus is God the Father, and there's no distinction between the two. Well, you know, I'm not even going to waste too much time explaining it in this video, because I've done whole sermons on the Trinity, and I'm certainly going to be doing a full sermon on the Trinity within the next week at Faithful Word Baptist Church, just to make sure that everybody understands this doctrine. I've already preached on it repeatedly. Even in the last 2 years, I found three sermons where I hammered on this doctrine, and there's so much evidence where the Bible gives us clear distinction between the Father and the Son. You know, one great example is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says in verse number 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So if you read that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, it's pretty clear that after the millennium, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, he's going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father, and he's going to be subject unto the Father. Well, that doesn't make any sense with this oneness doctrine. Or what about when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt"? Or what about, "Let us make man in our image"? Or what about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, you know, the Bible's clear. These three are one. Now, obviously, we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Obviously, we believe that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is the creator. Of course. We don't doubt that for one second. But the Godhead, the single God that we worship, the one God, is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So they don't believe in a three-in-one. They don't believe in a Trinity. They're basically just believing that God sort of just, you know, shapeshifts into the Son, and then he's the Father. And it's a weird doctrine. It's bizarre. Even a baby Christian just opening the book of John for the first time would open John 1:1 and see that the Word was in the beginning with God and was God. Okay. And again, I'm not going to spend this whole video proving the Trinity to you. If you're Baptist, you already believe in the Trinity. I've never even met in my life a Baptist that didn't believe in the Trinity, because to my knowledge, every Baptist church in America believes in the Trinity. So I'm kind of just shocked and horrified that Tyler Baker would believe this oneness heresy. And not only that, but that he was able to subvert several of our church members into believing this oneness heresy. And don't get me wrong, there's like 350 people in our church. So we're talking about a very small minority in our church that has fallen into this heresy. But you know what? It's not going to be tolerated. I'm not going to pastor a church where the Trinity is an optional doctrine. You know, the Trinity is one of the cores of what we believe. It's foundational to our faith. This is not a oneness Pentecostal church. This isn't T.D. Jakes or whatever. And, you know, even T.D. Jakes, I Googled it, even T.D. Jakes has recanted this because Christian bookstores were starting to talk about pulling his books off the shelf because of his oneness heresy. And the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, was talking about, you know, banning his books from their bookstores because of his oneness heresy. So then he came out in 2012 with kind of a watered down statement. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning more toward the Trinity now and growing and that, you know, because he just wants to keep making money on the book sales. Why? Because Christianity believes in the Trinity, okay? And that's a foundational core doctrine of what we believe. That's a milk of the word right there, the doctrine of the Trinity. It's pretty basic. And so that heresy alone is enough for him to be dismissed from his job, dismissed as deacon, and not to be sent out to start a church. And a lot of people might be really disappointed about that, but it's better that this is happening now than if we sent him out and then he started teaching this heresy of oneness doctrine and denying the Trinity. Then we would have had to have declared him a heretic at that point. That would be even more damaging. So it's better that we found out before the church has been started, before we got everybody's hopes all up and everything like that, even further than they already have been let down. So, and again, you know, I didn't find out about this until yesterday, and I'm getting it to out to everybody as quickly as I can here. And that's why I'm making this video. So anyway, a couple other issues that we've had with him. And again, that's the big thing right there. Okay, a couple other issues are that his work performance has been very poor, okay? From day one when I hired him, you know, and I thought he was doctrinally sound. I thought that he loved our church, that he's loyal to the church, that he loves the Word of God, that he believes straight. But his work ethic has left something to be desired. When he started the church, he was about a C- as a worker, okay? And I tried to work on him and tried to motivate him and get him to work harder and tried to fix it, chewed him out a few times, you know, trying to get him to work harder. But, you know, his work performance was at about a C-. And ever since we hired some other people on staff, you know, Brother Chris Segura, Brother Garrett Kirschway, his work performance has gone from a C- to an F. I mean, he's basically just hardly doing any work. It's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to Garrett. It's frustrating to Brother Segura, you know, because it's like you give him work to do, he doesn't get it done. And basically, we've all just been saying, well, let's just do it ourselves because if we give it to him, it doesn't get done. So he's unfaithful with his work. Now you say, well, why didn't you just fire him over that? Well, honestly, because of the fact that, you know, people were so excited about him starting the church in Jacksonville. I thought that he was doctrinally sound. To my knowledge, everything he said was doctrinally sound. Everything was correct. I didn't know he believed in this weird stuff. And, you know, his it seemed like his heart's in the right place. He's a good guy. He just maybe doesn't have the work ethic that we have, but we're kind of workaholics down here. So, you know, maybe we're just asking too much, you know. And honestly, I just knew that if I were to fire him over being a lazy worker or an ineffective worker, people would have freaked out and gotten mad at me and all this stuff. And so I just thought to myself, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. Because I thought about firing him many times just for his work performance. But, you know, I kept him on because I thought, you know, he's gonna grow, he's gonna learn more, and, you know, he's gonna be gone in a few months. Let's send him out on good terms and I'm sure he'll do fine. He's kind of a steady Eddie. You know, at least he preaches well, and he's doctrinally sound. So anyway, I mean, that's why I was kind of just tolerating it, even though I did, like I said, cloud up and rain on him multiple times about his work performance. I didn't feel that was grounds to fire him over. Looking back, maybe I should have, but You know, it's water under the bridge now. But when I find out that he's teaching this heresy and everything, obviously that, you know, that's just an instant termination right there. So number one is the main issue is about the Pentecostal oneness doctrine, the denying of the Trinity, and teaching that to other people in the church. Number two, just a very poor work ethic, just very lazy at work. Number three, when I hired him, I knew, because he told me, that he disagreed with us on Babylon. He bought into this, you know, Babylon is Jerusalem doctrine. And I told him, I said, well, that's okay, because honestly, that's not really a key article of the faith or anything. I mean, that's a secondary issue. That's just a matter of Bible prophecy interpretation. That's not a key doctrine. And I said, it's okay that you believe that. But I said, because you're on staff, because you're working for the church, and because our church is in the midst of producing this film, Babylon USA, and this is kind of a big project for us right now, you know, I don't want you to go around teaching that doctrine to people or telling people that that's what you believe, or trying to, you know, turn people away from the church's teaching on Babylon. So even though it's not a big key doctrine or anything, it's not something you'd put in the statement of faith or something, but because we're making this movie, it's important for us. So I don't want you to talk to, okay, oh yeah, no problem, no way. Even if people ask me about it, I won't talk to them about it. I'll just tell them, hey, I'm not comfortable talking about that because, you know, my position is different than the church's position. And I'll just, you know, blow them off because it's not my place to indoctrinate people against the teaching of the church. Okay, agreed. You know, because you're staff, you're an employee, right? You're deacon in the church. You know, you don't want to be seen as undermining the church's projects. But lo and behold, I find out yesterday that he's also been indoctrinating multiple people on why Jerusalem's Babylon and why our film is incorrect. And he's going through the Bible, showing them that half-baked doctrine that I've already debunked in many other videos. So, you know, that's a third thing of just breaking his word and being disloyal as an employee, not doing what he said he was going to do. You know, he could have just said, well, no, I need to teach everybody about this Babylon is Jerusalem doctrine, I would have said, okay, fine. Well, then, you know, you can't work here, obviously. And let me just say this. You know, I used to be a church member. I haven't been a pastor my whole life. I've been a pastor for 11 and a half years, but I was a church member before that for 24 years. And as a church member, I never fought against the doctrine of the church. I never spoke against the doctrine of the church. In fact, when I went to Regency Baptist Church in Orangevale, California for 5 years, I never one time spoke out about the pre-trib rapture. It wasn't my place because, you know, the church was pre-trib. I rejected the pre-trib rapture back when I was 12 years old, but, you know, it wasn't my place to straighten out the pastor or to straighten people out in the church or to sit there and undermine his authority in the church. I didn't say a word about it. In fact, my best friend, Roger Jimenez, who I went soul winning with for 4 hours per week for a long time, and he and I were really close buddies at Regency, he didn't even know that I didn't believe in the pre-trib rapture until I preached about it from the pulpit of Faithful Word. And he's like, wow, how come you never told me that? And I said, well, because, you know, it's not my place to take aside people in the church and tell them where the church is wrong. You know, let them figure that out on their own from the Bible, or let them research that on their own. But, you know, I shouldn't just be undermining the pastor and trying to, you know, sow discord or sow division or whatever. So basically, you know, he made the agreement on the Babylon thing, even though it's fine if he believes that. I don't care if he believes that. That if he's staff, he's not going to go around teaching that. He broke his word on that. So that's the third thing. And then the fourth thing is I found out that he's basically been actively recruiting people to leave Faithful Word Baptist Church and go to Jacksonville, Florida with him because of the fact that he's going to be teaching these doctrines that we don't teach. He's going to be doing things differently over there. Like, he's not going to baptize the way we baptize. Because when you believe in this oneness Pentecostal garbage, you don't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, you baptize in the name of Jesus. Because they don't believe in the Trinity. So they believe in a Jesus only for the baptism as well. So I thought, and look, I mentioned in a sermon a few weeks ago, and if you listen to my sermons regularly, you remember me saying this. I said in a sermon how, yeah, there's about four families in our church that are moving to Jacksonville, and it's great, and it's awesome because he's going to have all these helpers, and I'm all for it. We're all on the same team. Because I thought it was all very innocent. And you know, I meant that from the bottom of my heart. Because honestly, who cares if they go to my church, if they go to Pastor Jimenez's church, they go to Pastor Romero's church. I mean, if they go to any like-minded, if they go up to Pastor Berzin's church because they love the weather in Prescott Valley, they don't want to get, you know, 120 degrees like it is today here in Phoenix. You know, they want to be in a different climate. They just love Pastor Berzin's preaching more or Pastor Jimenez preaching more. That's great. I think that's great because we're all on the same team. We're all soul winning. We all love the Lord. We all have the same doctrines, you know, on the important things. Obviously, we disagree on little things. And so I was all for that. I had a great attitude about that because it was totally fine with me. If as many families would move out there, it was fine. And our church is growing so fast. I mean, we'll have four more families in our church in no time. But turns out that no, he's telling them, hey, his church is going to be closer to the truth. And he's basically got these people indoctrinated on this oneness thing. And he's basically telling them, yeah, that's why you need to come to Jacksonville. And I found out he went to some other people and lied to them and told them bad things about me and said, that's why you should come to Jacksonville and be with me. So, you know, that's very nefarious for him to be on our payroll, not doing his job. You know, look, if you don't believe me about his work performance, ask Garrett Kirschway, ask Chris Segura. They work with him every day, or rather, they see his lack of work every day. They don't know what he's been doing. You know, the timesheet gets turned in, and it's like, what did you do? What did you produce in this time? And, but apparently, he spends his time recruiting people away from, instead of, you know, doing it the right way, building a church the right way, he's actually going to people in our church and talking down certain doctrines or aspects of our church as a selling point for going to Jacksonville. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's crazy. Okay, so it's four separate issues here that I brought up. You know, the laziness on the job, the Pentecostal oneness doctrine, which is enough for termination right there. That's enough to break fellowship right there. I will not have any fellowship with any pastor who believes that. And if people in our church if there are people in our church that are going over to this oneness doctrine, I just want it to be real clear that they will never preach in any ministry of our church. They will never be ordained in any position whatsoever. And they should probably go somewhere else if they believe that. Because I don't want our church to be filled with oneness Pentecostals. I want our church to be a Baptist church where we have unity on at least the key doctrines of the faith. And this isn't just somebody disagreeing with Pastor Anderson. I mean, you're disagreeing with the whole Christian world on the Trinity. I mean, that's a key doctrine. That's something that, you know, we have to have in common. And so that's what's going on. He's been fired. He's not going to be sent out. I don't know. You know, you're going to have to talk to him to figure out what he's going to do now. I don't know if someone else is going to be willing to send him out or if he's just going to self-ordain, you know, like an Afshin Yagtin or something. I don't know what he's going to do. But all I know is that I'm not going to have any fellowship with him until he repents of this doctrine of denying the Trinity. And, you know, now that this happened, like I said, there are several people that have come under his influence and have bought into this false doctrine. You know, they all already know that he's been fired. And not one of them has come to me and tried to make things right with me or said that they're sorry for bad-mouthing me or for being a part of this wickedness, this rebellion, this heresy. Not one of them has come to me to even get my side of the story and even ask me, you know, what I have to say. No, instead, they're just talking smack about me behind my back, and they're just getting together and bashing me. And because of the fact that they're in the wrong. And instead of talking Trinity and talking doctrine, instead, they've just resorted to personal attacks. And you know, the personal attack that has been levied against me, from what I've heard, is that I don't care enough about my church members because of the fact that there were a few people sick and in the hospital recently, and I didn't pray for them. That's what's being brought out, because Brother Segura's daughter was in the hospital recently, and Brother Garrett's wife, Neo, is in the hospital right now. And they said, Pastor Anderson didn't pray for them. He didn't, you know, bring it before the church as a prayer request, and we could all pray and this and that. And so I'm wondering, what does that have to do with the Trinity? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? You know, but this is a common tactic. When people get called out on bad doctrine, they just want to resort to a personal attack that I'm not doing my job as a pastor, or I'm a bad guy, or I don't care, or whatever. Well, here's the facts on both of those situations. You know, when it comes to the Segura baby that was in the hospital recently, what these people don't know is that my wife and I went down there last Sunday afternoon, and we took 3 hours of our afternoon, literally 3 hours, to go and pick up an edible arrangement, like a fruit basket, you know, where it's like flower, it's fruit in the shape of flowers. We went and picked up an elaborate fruit basket. We brought it to the hospital. We spent time with Mrs. Segura and the baby in the hospital. We prayed for the baby, and, you know, we spent as much time as she wanted us to be there. And in all, it took about 3 hours of our afternoon. And we didn't do it because we had to. We did it because we wanted to. You know, that was something that we wanted to do. We wanted to be a blessing. We had the time. We were available. And that's what we did. And when it comes to Garrett's wife, Neo, well, here's the situation there. You know, Brother Garrett's wife, Neo, is pregnant with twins. And there have been some serious complications. And Garrett himself will testify to the fact that I gave him advice. He didn't understand the situation because he's a first-time father here. His wife is a first-time mother. They didn't understand the situation. They were going about it all, you know, just like a normal pregnancy. They didn't really know the seriousness of it. But because I've had experience with this, my wife has had 9 kids, and we've also had twins, and one of the twins passed away, and we know what it's like to have complications with a twin pregnancy, that I actually took Garrett aside and said, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. This is who you need to call. This is what you need to do. You got to cancel this. You got to cancel that. You got to go down and do this. And, you know, Garrett later came to me and said, thank you so much, because if it wasn't for your intervention and your advice, they'd both be dead by now, because they needed extreme medical intervention. And now they're both doing okay. And, you know, God willing, we hope that they're going to be born healthy and safe. But, you know, I intervened there, and God obviously allowed me to have the experiences, and my wife to have the experiences and knowledge, that we were able to step in and help out Brother Garrett in his time of need. And he was really grateful. He didn't complain and say, why didn't you go visit her in the hospital? And he was just glad that I saved his children's life. Okay. And I didn't think that an ordained minister of the gospel like Garrett Kirschway, you know, really needed me to come and offer spiritual support and guidance in the hospital when he's more than capable of doing that himself, being himself a man of God. And not only that, but specifically at our church, we have 4 employees that are full-time. We had, now we only have 3 because we just fired Tyler Baker, but myself, Baker, Garrett Kirschway, and Chris Segura. Okay. Well, you know, I have in writing here where I wrote down all the duties. I just made a list of all the things that need to be done on a regular basis in the church. And I put different people's initials next to that of whose responsibility, where the buck stops there. And I made it clear. I said, look, we can help each other out with these things, but at the end of the day, the responsibility lies with the person's name who's on this list next to that item. And in writing, right here, it was laid out that things like hospital visits and taking care of members that are in need and people that are in a jam, people that need help, people that are sick, people that need a ride, people that need a meal, whatever, that guess whose name is next to that as their responsibility? The deacon, Tyler Baker, that's whose name. And then on each item of responsibility, there's a primary person and there's a backup person. So the primary person for hospital visits, member care, helping people is Tyler Baker. And the backup person is Garrett Kirschway. And I've known of Garrett Kirschway to make hospital visits. I've talked to him, hey, I'm heading over to the hospital, you know, and doing things like that. But honestly, I don't know that Tyler Baker did a lot of that, because I don't know that he did a lot of much of anything while he worked here toward the end, because it's like he knew he was on his way out and he just worked less and less and less. He just kept doing less work. Okay. So for these people that are in his faction to turn around and try to say that I'm not caring for people enough. Well, the bottom line is there's 350 people in the church. I'm one person, and I'm also trying to win all the Indians in Arizona to Christ. I'm taking trips constantly to the Apache Reservation. I'm doing a lot of soul winning. I'm running a lot of things about this ministry. I'm working hard, but you know, there's only so much one person can do. I'm the pastor of the church. I got to preach three times a week. I'm running major soul winning campaigns. I'm producing these films that are reaching millions of people with the help of Paul Wittenberger, who's the main director and producer. But I still have a lot of work to do on all of these fronts. I have just piles and piles and piles of work that I can't even get to, okay? That's the whole point of having a deacon. That's the whole point of hiring workers. That's the whole point of having an evangelist and a deacon and a worker and a servant of the church. The purpose is so that we can share the burden. So if people in our church want to get a bad attitude because I didn't personally visit them, I didn't care enough, you know, people need to stop asking what church can do for them and ask maybe what they can do for the church. And instead of getting bitter, well, Pastor Anderson didn't visit me. Well, you know what? I try to visit people. I do the best I can. And there are other people on the staff that are there for you. And if for some reason I'm out of town preaching and in this state or preaching in that state or I'm on this Indian reservation or that Indian reservation, you know, there's other people to call on for that reason. And let me just make it real clear. I've not been delinquent in my duties as pastor, you know, but that's just something that, now, am I perfect? Of course not. Have I overlooked things? I'm sure I have, but I'm not some delinquent pastor here. What it comes down to is people have been teaching a heresy where they deny the Trinity. So then instead of talking about that, it's like, oh, well, what about that time you were sick and Pastor Anderson didn't visit you? What about all the people I did visit, okay? For crying out loud. Anyway, I'm putting this all out there. I always like for things to be out in the open. I don't believe in hiding things or sweeping things under the rug. And you say, well, what about Tyler Baker? What do you think about Tyler Baker? You know, I'm not saying that he's not saved. I'm not saying that he's a false prophet. I am saying that he's lazy, stupid, and arrogant. Now, he may be an unsaved false prophet. I don't know. He may be a Judas Iscariot, because this is some pretty weird doctrine when you're denying the Trinity. But I'm not saying that about him. And when I fired him, I ripped his face, and I told him all the reasons, and he admitted to everything. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I believe you're a brother in Christ. I shook his hand. I gave him a hug and said, God bless you. But I said, I don't ever want to see you again, and I'm not going to have any fellowship with you. Because he was given a chance to repent on the oneness thing, and he didn't. And so, you know, I can't have fellowship with that doctrine. That's a deal-breaking doctrine. And so if you're sitting out there at home and saying, well, I don't think the Trinity really is that big of a deal, well, you know, that's up to you. But I'm putting all the cards on the table, and you do what you want to do. Those of you down in Florida, those of you that are thinking about moving there, I'm just giving you all the facts, and I wish I could have warned you sooner. I wish I could have told you sooner, but I'm telling you as soon as I know. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. You know, shapeshifts into the Son, and then he's the Father. And it's a weird doctrine. It's bizarre. Even a baby Christian just opening the book of John for the first time would open John 1:1 and see that the Word was in the beginning with God and was God. Okay. And again, I'm not going to spend this whole video proving the Trinity to you. If you're a Baptist, you already believe in the Trinity. I've never even met in my life a Baptist that didn't believe in the Trinity, because to my knowledge, every Baptist church in America believes in the Trinity. So I'm kind of just shocked and horrified that Tyler Baker would believe this oneness heresy. And not only that, but that he was able to subvert several of our church members into believing this oneness heresy. And don't get me wrong, there's like 350 people in our church. So we're talking about a very small minority in our church that has fallen into this heresy. But you know what? It's not going to be tolerated. I'm not going to pastor a church where the Trinity is an optional doctrine. You know, the Trinity is one of the cores. Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got some bad news. Tyler Baker has been fired from his job here at Faithful Word Baptist Church. And there are several reasons why, and I'm going to explain all the reasons, but the biggest reason why is that he is believing and spreading a serious heresy in our church. I found out that he believed this only yesterday around noontime, and I found out he's been spreading it only to certain people. He was very careful who he approached with this false doctrine, but he has an inner circle. He has a faction of people that he's been infecting with this. And to mine, I know of five men in the church that have families that he's infected with this, and it's very serious. And so here I am making this video less than 24 hours later, because I feel like people have the right to know, and especially because I know there are a lot of people who are planning on moving out to Jacksonville. Some might have already put in notice at their job, or they're already making plans to move. And so I didn't want to wait even a few days because of the fact that, you know, people could be making serious plans, and then, you know, they make these plans to move down there, and then they find out that, you know, Tyler Baker's been fired from his job here, and that he's not going to be ordained by our church. He's not going to be sent out as a pastor because of this heresy and a few other reasons. But here's the thing. I don't know whether this church, Valiant Baptist Church in Jacksonville, is going to be founded or not, but I certainly know that I will not be laying hands on him. I will not be participating in any way, and I will have zero fellowship with him ever until he repents of this heresy. Now, the biggest heresy that he's been teaching is he is basically denying the Trinity. He's saying that the Trinity is, quote, borderline polytheism, and he's bought into this oneness Pentecostal doctrine, or whatever you want to call it, modalism, whatever, where they say that there is no Trinity. The Trinity is a false doctrine, and basically they're saying that there is no distinction between the Father and the Son. They're saying that Jesus is God the Father, and there's no distinction between the two. Well, you know, I'm not even going to waste too much time explaining it in this video, because I've done whole sermons on the Trinity, and I'm certainly going to be doing a full sermon on the Trinity within the next week at Faithful Word Baptist Church, just to make sure that everybody understands this doctrine. I've already preached on it repeatedly. Even in the last 2 years, I found three sermons where I hammered on this doctrine, and there's so much evidence where the Bible gives us clear distinction between the Father and the Son. You know, one great example is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says in verse number 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So if you read that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, it's pretty clear that after the millennium, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, he's going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father, and he's going to be subject unto the Father. Well, that doesn't make any sense with this oneness doctrine. Or what about when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt"? Or what about, "Let us make man in our image"? Or what about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, you know, the Bible's clear. These three are one. Now, obviously, we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Obviously, we believe that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is the creator. Of course. We don't doubt that for one second. But the Godhead, the single God that we worship, the one God, is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So they don't believe in a three-in-one. They don't believe in a Trinity. They're basically just believing that God sort of just